All right, let's just go ahead and get started. So tonight we are talking about sorry, had some echo. Tonight we are talking about developing a personal learning slash training slash certification plan for yourself if you are in the tech space. This room is being recorded and will be available after we wrap up. The last time I did a room, it went a little bit long, so I want to just try to keep this one to an hour with 15 minutes for Q&A. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Deara Footman, CCIE by 30. I'm a network engineer and I have been in tech for a little over 10 years. Go ahead. I don't want to mispronounce your name, but
Crazy.
okay.
Hey, my name is Crazy or Praise. I'm currently a software engineer, but I'm transitioning into a PM role, project management, and I have a degree in information systems and certification in data analytics. So, yeah.
Awesome. All right, so I think everyone here, if you spend any amount of time in tech, whether it's, you're new to tech and you're trying to break in or you've been in the industry for a little while, I think we can all agree that there is definitely, it's like drinking from a fire hose. All of the potential information, the new certs, the new technologies that come out, and we're all constantly trying to, get to the bag. We want to be the best developer, engineer, administrator, whatever it may be that we can be. So it, a lot of people get caught up in shiny object syndrome and feeling like they have to learn all the things. So my first question is, one, did you feel like that? And then how did you kind of just pick the one thing to focus on versus having 20 or 30 irons in the fire?
I could go ahead and answer this question. So, I think when I was in college, I went to a lot of hackathons, and that kind of helped me experiment what I like doing. So there were times where I did some web design, there were times where I did some back-end development. There were times where I just went there to the hackathon and I said, okay, I'm gonna be a product manager, and I was a product manager for the project. So that kind of helped me realize what I enjoy doing, even under pressure, because going to hackathons will put you under a lot of pressure. So I was just like, oh, I was under pressure doing this project, but I still enjoyed doing it. So that was when I realized there were certain things I know I could never see myself do, just certain things I did see myself do and I did enjoy by myself. So, yeah.
Thank you. What about you, Mary? And thank you for jumping up. Please introduce yourself.
Sure. So, my name is Mary. I am currently a ServiceNow engineer and ServiceNow business analyst, and I also have a service in which I help other people get into the tech field. So, I actually started off cert hoarding and just getting a whole bunch of random certs. The way I got my certifications though were kind of strategic, although they were random. I got them in multiple different higher or like in demand places in tech. So I spread them out by first getting more of the general certs stuff like ITIL, Scrum Master. Then I got some cloud certs, top two clouds like Azure, AWS. I got some Oracle database certs for database, and then I got more specialized certifications, specialized softwares like ServiceNow, Splunk, Salesforce, and stuff like that. But after I realized and started chose my specialty as ServiceNow for the main part in Salesforce, I and started helping more people get into the tech field. I pretty much kind of developed a system to which when I tell my clients to first choose their industry that they have experience in, so industry meaning like healthcare, IT, construction, the financial industry, fintech, and a whole bunch of different spaces in the tech field first choosing their industry, because your certifications should be based off of, one, your industry, your specialty, your actual job role. So if you choose your industry, say if you choose like healthcare, IT or something like that, then you choose an area, for example, cyber or cloud. And then you choose your specialty, for example, if you choose maybe AWS cloud as your main specialty or Salesforce. And then I always tell people to also pick their specific position. So say if they choose like business analysis or something, you can pretty much pair all of that together to get your ideal role. And then you can create your certification path based off of that. So if you're in the healthcare industry, you may have to look at some healthcare IT certs. If you are choosing the cloud area, then you want to choose some cloud certs. If you're choosing the business analysis area, then you want to look at Scrum and ITIL. If you are choosing a specific specialty like Salesforce, ServiceNow, Splunk, whatever, then those certifications will be what you have to look into. And then really just pairing all of those together for your ideal role, I feel like that's the best way that I always tell people to focus their certs on, basically. So yeah, that's how I would go about it now, but definitely not certification whore, just based off of you see what you see on the TL, because you're going to be all over the place. And I really do think that the hands-on practice in the labs is way much more important than just getting certs, at least to support your certifications. You want to definitely get certs because certs are great. It validates things. It serves kind of as a check off when you're actually getting in the field, but you need to back it up by your hands-on practice, because when you interview, they're going to be asking you what you actually do in the real world or you've done on the side or things like that. So certifications are kind of like supporting things that you can get to validate pretty much everything that you're learning. So just to wrap that up, I would say choose your industry that you currently have experience in. Choose your area, like cyber, cloud, whatever. Choose your position itself, specific jobs like systems admin, business analysis, project management. Then you want to choose your specialty. And then from that, you can create your perfect little group of certs, and you're not going to be all over the place, basically. So that's the area. That's how I typically go about it, or tell the people I work with to go about it, so that way they're more focused and not everywhere, basically. So, yep. That's it for me.
Thank you. Yeah, that was great. I definitely agree with your approach to, you know, picking the field and then niching down from there. For me, what I started doing was picking stuff that was complementary to what I do. So as a network engineer, obviously, there's no way to avoid cloud. As much as I tried. I attended some basic trainings because I had to for my job, but it became apparent that like I'm not getting away from cloud, even if I don't specialize in cloud. So I tried to look at things that complemented my role, and that is primarily cloud and security. So I'm studying for my security plus right now, and you know, taking some other security related trainings. My problem was I would try to learn a new technology or a new field, and instead of just looking at the course material and kind of just learning it, you know, to go, I would be like, oh, well, let me just go ahead and get a cert in it. That was my approach early on. And eventually it just, one, got expensive. And two, it's just like, you know what? I just need to know this so I can know what they're talking about at work. I will probably never see this again.
I will say I also made that mistake when I was learning different programming languages. I would try to like hop on like different programming languages and learn everything at the same time instead of learning one, building something with one, and then moving to the next one, if that makes any sense. I would also say talk to the people that are already in that position that you're trying to get, and see what certifications that they took or what certifications that they currently are taking, because that's very helpful. Because I know I'm switching from software to product management or project management, and I reached out to a lot of product management or project managers to ask them like basically what certifications got them where they were. And there were some certifications I was trying to get, and they told me, okay, that's not necessary. And there were some that they were like, okay, yeah, I did that when I was trying to switch, or when I was already preparing to like take this job. So I would say reach out to people that are already in those positions, because sometimes that can be helpful.
And I actually have one more thing to add to kind of tie in what I said. For example, say if you're trying to be a Tableau, if you're trying to get into data analysis, but you also want your area to be in cyber as well, you also want to be a systems administrator, and you want to work in the healthcare sector, then your certifications would be, for example, Tableau certifications. You want to probably get some Power BI certifications. You want to learn systems administration, and then you also want to get like something on the security side, like Security Plus and such. From that, you've pretty much been able to create a kind of, you know, the perfect group of certs that focuses on all the areas that you want to get into, like some of the healthcare certs, some data analysis certs, some security-based certs. And then from that, it just kind of makes you look like that perfect unicorn candidate that they're looking for, because your certifications are based off of every area that you want to get into, because you can have that perfect role that literally incorporates like four or five different sectors, just because when you're in tech, there's so many different softwares that you work on. So that's why anytime you look at the job descriptions, it looks like they're looking for all like the perfect unicorn. So that's why I'm kind of like really strict on that specific approach, because rather than just, you know, when people call me, they're like, well, I want to get network, or I want to get this. And then after a conversation, I realize that they don't even want to be technical at all. You know, they're trying to be in the business analysis side based off their personality type or the experience that they have. And then we have to completely scratch, you know, what they thought that they came in, and then kind of getting them a little bit more focused. So that's why I always say, you know, pick based off your interests, because no matter area, like tech is just so wide range, and it's so in demand, and it's literally in every space that, you know, people are always asking me, what's better, what's going to get me a job? Honestly, no matter where you spin it and no matter pathway that you go to, you're going to be able to get something, because most areas are in demand, and it just really depends on the sector. So healthcare IT has completely different demanding certs and completely different requirements, and they have their own niche certifications and their own niche softwares in which if you chose that area, jobs are going to be looking for you. Same for fintech, same from construction IT, same from real estate IT, like really same for anything that you want to do. It really doesn't matter which pathway you get to. If you choose yours and you focus on the top certifications that are sought out in that, you're going to be fine either way. There's really no main pathway that's just perfect for newbies, because it depends on what you want to do. So just thought I'd add that in, basically, for people looking for like the popular areas. Honestly, it doesn't matter. You can probably be in demand in the popular and unpopular areas as well. So yeah, and that's it.
I'd say even more for the unpopular areas, because it's not like the cool, sexy thing. So,
oh yeah, definitely. I'm always telling people on my calls, like, you can pay attention to the clouds and the Azure, because that's where a lot of things are going. But if you're in the mortgage industry, like, there are specific softwares and certifications that no one has even ever heard about, that I'm just like Googling and seeing that a lot of these positions are like fully remote, and they have lower barriers of entry, because the people, you know, like there's just not enough competition, and you're really going to have that job security because you don't have other people that are specialized in that software. I've interviewed for specific roles on software that people have never heard about just by, you know, learning it myself and just throwing myself out there. And I've heard it out of their own mouths, like an HR is saying that we're going to have to take what we can get because we don't really have a lot of candidates in this area. So I always tell people to look at the unpopular area as well and not really just go where it's so super in demand, because that might be a little bit harder to get into just because you have so many people trying to do the exact same thing that you're doing. So it's good to really get the certifications that are in the top areas, but also get some certs that are unpopular as well, that are really niche to your industry and your role and your interests and stuff like that, because then you can be that unicorn that they're looking for. And it really may not even take that long. So, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. So I saw this tweet, and I think, let me see if I bookmarked it. I hope I did. Where this guy, he got all 12 of the AWS certifications. like infinity stones. That's so crazy. All 12
of them. Oh, no. It's crazy to me. I'm like, why? What was the point? What was the reason? Like, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, here it is. I retweeted his thread because he does have some good resources, but this isn't the first time I've heard about this, like someone just knocking out like an entire line of certifications for whatever reason. What do you guys think of people? Because I see a lot of people, and I've actually had them like DM me like, oh yeah, I saw that so-and-so. I'm just going to use this guy as an example. I saw that Adam got all 12 AWS certs. I want to do that. How do I do that? Have you guys seen that? Have you come across that? Like, what's your opinion?
I have, and I just feel like at some point that's overwhelming at some point. So I don't advise people to do that. Except you have all the time in the day, you're not working 40 hours a week. It's not healthy. Because at some point, you're just learning just to learn. And sometimes people learn and get the certifications and you're not applying it. So sometimes you would even forget what you learned in the certification. So, yeah.
Nah, you took the words out of my mouth. What's going on, everybody? Obi here, Hackabelly. But yeah, me personally, I'm not really, I mean, the certs are good, but I think that honestly the best, you know, way you can really show your skills is apply knowledge. So I think, you know, while certs are really, I mean, they're good, obviously. It shows that you at least know a foundational knowledge base of it. But at the same time, like, you know, then I promise you, nobody's going to ask you what was number 10, like number 10 on the certified, you know, facts. Solution developer, you know, exam from 2 years ago. Like,
they're asking what you've done. Like, what project yeah. have you done? You know, why, what was the scope of the project? What was the point? What was the scenario? Where, like, just more practical level stuff. I think that if you're going to certification hoard, you want to do it after you've at least been able to obtain your job in tech. And then from that, you can get your companies to sponsor the crazy certs you want to get. But like beforehand, you probably just want to focus on more specialized and focused certs.
Nah, speak on it for real. Because I mean, most jobs, I mean, for real, I mean, depending on what you're doing. Like, I mean, you can really finesse your job like to pay for anything, especially if like, you know, they're really needing the skill. I mean, yeah. So I wouldn't come out of pocket unless like you're truly like wanting to learn these and like, you know, and get the certifications under your belt. But even in same time, it's really not going to go anywhere if you're just like hoarding them in trying to collect infinity stones. I mean, it looks good on paper though.
Yeah, I just thought that was like insane, especially having taken the solutions architect exam. That exam is very information heavy, so the fact that he was able to just knock out all 12 is just like wow, but at the same time insane.
So hey everybody, thanks for letting me speak. This is Davin, by the way. I would say it all depends on the purpose, right? Yeah, that 12 AWS certifications, I'm not sure if, you know, they form together like some type of Voltron or like the previous speaker said, like the Infinity Stones or something. But you do have some certifications in the tech field, like, you know, back in the day it was the MCITP, but now it's like the MCSA or whatever it is for Microsoft. But you needed to get like 4 or 5 certifications to get this one. So they did like Microsoft was some of the very first stackable certifications where you see, you had to get the foundation of Windows Server, then you had to get the networking certification, then you had to get another one, and then you had to take the final one, which was like all the previous exams into one to get the certification to say, oh, I'm certified to work on servers. CompTIA is doing that now also with some of their stackable certifications, where it's like if you get the A+. Network Plus and Security Plus, like that's like the foundation one, and then you can get the pen test from the Security Plus, you get the pen test plus CASP and I think the CYSA, and then that's like their cybersecurity stack. So if you're gonna do it, I would definitely you know, make sure that it's something that you want to do and that that is going to work for you. And like the previous speaker said, you know, or I think it was Mary, you can get the job to pay for it. Like I did, I that's what I did with the Microsoft and even some of the CompTIA. Like I did it where I kind of just kept taking the money and flipping it. So I paid out of pocket for my first, for the first certification was like $300, but I made them agree that every time I passed, they reimbursed me and then gave me a little bit extra on top of it. So now they reimburse me plus, you know, 5% raise or 10% raise or whatever. And now I kept just taking that same $300 and putting it next to the next certification, to the next certification. So essentially I only paid, I paid for like five certifications one time for $300. So it's just making it work for you and finding a way that is not going to break your pockets, because we're in the field to make money and not go bankrupt.
You smell me.
Yeah, very great point. And that actually brings me to my next question. So if you are working for an employer and you want to get a certification that's not in what you're working on, I have seen some issues where some employers will just be like, nope, you're a network engineer. Why do you need to know database? Nope, we're not paying for that. If you want to get it, great, but we're not paying for it. You're not going to get any brownie points for it. Would, or you have the managers who are like, you know, convince me how this will make you better at your job. What would your advice be to someone in that position?
I would say from personal experience that recently just happened to me, just tread lightly, you know, and really gauge the temperature of like your verticals and managers, whoever your team is, you know, especially like, you know, to that point, to the first point, like, you know, some managers are going to dead it off top, but, you know, some managers and, you know, some teams are going to really support it. So, I mean, you really just got to understand, like you said, just take the pulse of the team. It's nothing for you to, like, you know, schedule a one-on-one with, you know, a manager, especially if you come correct. You said, hey, like, I know this isn't, like, directly, you know, related to my silo or, you know what I mean, directly related to, like, you know, my line of work. But at the same time, like, this is where I'm looking to transition. So, I mean, like I said, take it from, like, somebody who literally just went through that. Just make sure you're, like, real, real, real honest with them and just also, just, you know, be straight up with them. You don't feel like you got to hide anything. You know, that's what you want to learn. That's, you know, that's where your interest is. Like, go for it. But at the same time, just make sure that, hey, like, if you know, like, y'all are, like, knee deep in, you know, project work, you know, it's probably not the best time to say, like, hey, like, you know, I know we're working on Angular stuff, but I'm trying to go, you know, figure out, you know, what the SQL is looking like. You know what I'm saying? So just make sure that it's, you know, read the room, as they say on Twitter, right? Just read the room.
I agree. I would say so. For me, when I decided I wanted to get into security, basically what he said, read the room. So make it seem like show them that they need it, right? If you're truly passionate about it and this is what you want to pursue, you know, save the money and you might have to invest in yourself, but bring it to your employer as a way of showing them how it can improve the company. So like I worked in the school district, and when I decided I wanted to get into pen testing and cybersecurity, I basically did a whole PowerPoint presentation on why we needed it. And it to break it all down, it was basically like, your security sucks. And even though you think, you know, only Fortune 500 companies should worry about cybersecurity, we have things that we need to secure too, like, you know, teachers' passwords, students' information for lunch, so social security cards, social security numbers, parents' banking information, because this is when they first started doing like the online payment system for school lunch and stuff like that. These are all things that we need to protect and make sure that we don't get stolen. We also need to make sure we protect our network from being taken down, because we were having students who were DDoSing us from their cell phone. So these are things that, you know, you bring up to them and show them why there's a need for it. If they rock with it, cool, then let them pay for it. If not, and this is something that, you know, this is where you want to be, you know, just sit back, bide your time, and save up your money until you can do it for yourself.
Facts. I just want to say shout out to everyone who spent any time working in public school IT systems. It is not for the faint of heart.
It sucks. It's the worst.
It's rewarding when you see like the tech in the kids' hands, but that is a very fleeting moment. Does anyone else have anything to contribute?
Actually, I stepped away a split second for your question. Can you reiterate it? Like, what did you ask?
So I was asking if you are someone who wants to get a certification in a area that's completely unrelated to your job and your employer doesn't want to pay for it. They're just like, you know, you're a Salesforce admin. You don't need to do security. I don't care. Convince me. Why is it worth the investment? Like, what would your advice be?
I typically always... The funny thing is the kind of certifications that I want to get or the focus that I want to get, I always tell them this during the interview phase that I'm someone who likes to learn a lot of different softwares, platforms. I like to get my hands on different things. So I give them a heads up ahead of time. And so they typically expect that I'm already coming asking, you know, if I can get my hands on a different software that they may be that a completely different department is in that's not in mine. But to be honest, like, I don't really like push the matter, or I'll just make them aware that, hey, you know, we may be specialized in a specific software and I may be trying to get certified in a different software, but know that we are, being in IT, we're always working on different softwares and different things, and you never really know, especially with consulting companies, they're always trying to build their practice. They're always trying to they're always trying to get more contracts and get on different softwares, and they really care about the money at the end of the day. So if you can just, I would just let them know, hey, like, you guys never really know if you are specialized on, you know, Salesforce projects and staffing for Salesforce people, or, you know, contracting for that, you never know, because ServiceNow or whatever else, or Jira, whatever I'm trying to get, I'm interested in, you guys, it's an area that a lot of IC are in demand, but there are not really a lot of companies that work with it. So I could be your Jira person, or I could be that person that could help leverage, you know, that specific practice, because they're always trying to build their practice. So I feel like that's also a thing that you could pitch into. So, yeah.
I can say that I cheat a little bit. What I do is find online training programs or companies, and then I wait for a good deal for all access, and they just pay for all access, and then I have access to whatever I want to learn. And if I want to do a certification, I just do it through that particular platform. Of course, it only works for people, I guess, if you like, or if you can study online on your own, but that's how I get around it.
That's a good tip. Cool. So what do you guys think about, and this is for the technical people. So early in my career, I started taking like project management training because I was at an organization that did not have like a project management office. So the engineers were responsible for pretty much managing their own projects if you wanted it done right with realistic timelines. Otherwise, management would just be like, oh yeah, sure, you can upgrade the entire data center in a week, why not? So how do you suggest that people like engineers and developers and stuff take training or certifications related to the business side of things, or is that like something that's not necessary? Because I was told, you know, you don't need that, or what are you trying to be, a project manager? You know, the little snipey comments people tend to make. So
I would say yes, because I'll say this. A lot of engineers don't realize how their work generally affects the bigger picture of the project. So if you're an engineer and if you have the time and you have the money, I would definitely recommend for you to take something like close to project management certification, because that will, or any certification that has to be on the business side. Because I've been on a team where we started working on a project and the senior engineer was just like, we needed more input from the marketing team on how to develop the product. And we had to start all over again because we did not understand the business side of things. So if you have a chance to get certifications to understand the business side of things, definitely do it, because that would also influence how you build a you code your project and other things. So yeah, definitely, I'll recommend that.
I have something to add. I would say that it just, the difference between you, someone who's more on the technical side, and you maybe being a manager or get into that senior level or get into that, basically get into a managerial level, is that the communication skills and being able to talk business and talk money. Because, ooh. Okay. All right. Yeah, I got to go.
All right. Hope everything is okay over there. Did anybody else have something they wanted to add to that?
I would say a cool way. I mean, it's not necessary, and don't think that this is like, you know, absolutely like imperative. But, you know, one way I think that allow you to really see or allow you to wear many hats is like being able to work with or for a startup. I will say from my experience, like I kind of came into tech unconventionally. You know, I started my own startup when I was an undergrad, when I was like 19, 20. And I think that allowed me to kind of see like the DevOps side of it, the business side of it. And also, like I said, coming in as an engineer, that was already kind of like my capacity and like my technical side. So I think it really just, you know, balanced it. Cause you know, anybody experienced working with startups, like, I don't care if you're an engineer, you can be an engineer today, tomorrow you could be, you know, sales, you know, the next day you could be a BA or, you know, a project manager or scrum master. So I guess it all really depends on like where your team is, but I know from my experience, you know, specifically, it's something I like to, you know, really just tell people, you know what I mean? Cause a lot of people just think of startups like, oh, well, you know, it's just, we just sitting around doing nothing. But at the same time, like that's a really time for you to like learn everything around the business, because most companies, they're trying to operate like startups anyways, you know what I'm saying? So I think that that's always a really interesting parallel how I look at it. But again, that's all very optional. Don't feel like you have to work for a startup or work with one. I know that's just a great way to kind of see the whole cycle of a business, the whole cycle of a product, if you will.
Did anyone else have something to add to that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, I've worked for a lot of major organizations, and I feel it's essential to have some kind of background in how to organize projects, because a lot of times you're set in a position where you have to know how to communicate, because every place doesn't have project managers, and to get a project done in any kind of functional way, someone needs to organize, and sometimes it ends up being the, you know, the technical engineer.
Facts. So that kind of covers all the topics I had for this specific topic, but Obi brought up a really good point and related to like startups versus big organizations. So I'm leaving an organization that is at this point an enterprise size and level organization, but they run it like a startup, and it is a nightmare in some areas because for those who don't know, you know, startup culture is usually really relaxed, and you know, we're just kind of figuring it out as we go, and you know, there's usually a good flow of money, well, for some startups.
I was going to say, put that disclaimer out there, please.
Yeah, for some startups. Some are definitely trying to just get it together. And you end up wearing like multiple hats, which can be good. So like in my position, I'm an engineer, but I also develop and run our entire change management process, which is cool if you want to try to learn multiple things, but it can also like be a headache. So for everyone up here, what would your opinion be on people who are new to tech? Should they target enterprises or should they look specifically to startups? And I'll save my opinion for the end.
I like shameless plug. I actually got a class actually that just went live as of 2 days ago. So part of that is just really navigating your way into tech. So if you want to figure out whether the enterprise route is, you know, for you, or maybe it's consulting, or maybe it's, you know, startups, you know, just trying to figure out like what's your interest and what's your MO. So tap in with me if you have any questions. But, you know, to answer the question more specifically, you know, just you got to figure out like, you know, where do you see yourself? You know what I mean? Presently and in the future, you got to kind of look ahead. And I know sometimes like, you know, ultimately you just thinking about, okay, this is the type of work I want to do, but not necessarily what type of, you know, environment do I want to see myself in? What type of ecosystem I'm in? Which really is going, sometimes it's going to dictate your experience. You know what I'm saying? It's going to really determine like whether, hey, like I really like what I do, or maybe it's I went into a startup as an engineer, didn't like the engineering team because it was me and two other people trying to build, you know, three web apps and two mobile apps. Or maybe I went to a team that, you know, had a great experience. So just want to make sure that, you know, going into it, you understand like, hey, this is where I want to see myself presently and just in the future as well. Like, this is where I want my skills and my goals to align.
I would say, you know, for training, I think it'd be great if people who are starting out, even if you're already in technology, and let's say you wanted to shift to a different field, like from networking to coding, something like that, reach out to, I'm kind of advocating for grassroots, some nonprofit, small organizations, and see if they allow you to test your skills out with them, because they're always looking for technical people anyway. And when it comes to things like coding and web applications, a lot of these small, you know, grassroots do a lot of paperwork, and I think they could use the experience of people who can help them automate a lot of their processes. And, you know, just be real with them, let them know that you're new to this and, you know, you want to start out small, but it also give you a good feel for where you want to be and if you actually like that. So you may spend time learning Python or web application development, and then you go to, you know, this grassroots and say, you know, yeah, I guess I don't really like that. And then, you know, you don't, that way you don't spend a lot of time in a field that you really don't enjoy. But in the interim, you're also helping out a grassroots organization or nonprofit. So, you know, don't overlook them as places to start building and developing your skills.
Hey, you going to post that in here?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it maybe something like what Murray said on the last meeting we had. It's your personality. So a lot of it deals with how you want to be in the organization, how you want to work with the people around you. Sometimes it's a lot easier to have like a major business entity than a startup because, hey, you know, there are a lot of like assignments that you have to do. I have to do this on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Everything's already structured out for you. A lot of times coming in, if you come into a startup, like a few of the other guys have already said, you wear a lot of hats. And if you're not sure of what you're doing when you first come in, it's really hard to kind of put on all those hats. So sometimes coming into a more established organization is a little easier than coming into, say, a startup where, you know, hey, I'm working on this and I'm still learning this. And now I'm responsible for learning something else and, you know, still trying to do what I'm responsible for.
1,000. Also, as a caveat to that, you raised a good point. I meant to just send a 100 emoji while you were saying it. But also, like, when it comes to just, like, overall, like, company culture, just, like, a lot of times, especially with startups and some of, like, the newer companies, the quote-unquote sexier companies, you know, I don't know now, especially now because, you know, a lot of us are remote moving forward, but especially as we transition back into the office, whatever it is, don't fall for the smoke and mirrors. You know what I mean? The big companies will do it. The startups will do it especially. They like to, though, do the whole, hey, like, we're a family, it's laid back here. They'll entice you with the food, the snacks, you know what I mean? The happy hours, the free gear, you know what I mean? Understand that, okay, that's cool and all, but at the same time, you're there to do a job because, you know, I think there's two sides of the sword. You know what I mean? Obviously, one, you want to be comfortable where you work. You know, you want to love where you work, but at the same time, like sometimes, you know, companies, they do a really good job of like shielding that love where you work, you know, to really overwork you and to really like, you know, pull some, basically like grind you down like to the brittle, you know what I mean? So at the same time, just know like, hey, like this is the job at the end of the day. they're not my family. You know, they could be cool people outside of work, but at the same time, like, you know, again, it all just comes down to like the environment you're working in. And, you know, to that point, you know, you raised a good point, Willie, in terms of just people. Some people need structure. Now, if you're one of those people that need structure, you need direction, you need, you know, order, I would definitely think twice before maybe going to a startup or something that isn't as, I guess, in place. You know, you definitely want to make sure that, like, hey, if I know, like, I'm a kind of cut and dry person, you know, I'm a ABC type person, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, like, you just want to make sure that it fits who you are and your personality type, or else, like, you'll get there your first time you see people, you know, supposed to be like, you know, having a meeting at 3:30. Meanwhile, they're chilling, playing the game. Like, you're going to go crazy. You know what I mean? So that's just from experience. You know what I'm saying? So just know what you're getting yourself into.
Thank you for that. I have a question. I think this will be, I don't know if this will be our last question, but I was going to ask, what would your advice be to people that start preparing for certifications and they just never get to finish? Like, I know a lot of people that they start preparing and they never get to finish or even take the exam, but they know that they really wanted to get that certification. What would y'all's advice be to them?
Hey, this is Nick. Yeah, I'm just going to pipe up here real quick. So I'm Nick Russo, by the way, for those who know me. The reason I'm speaking now, and I was going to talk earlier because Davin said something I wanted to touch on, but that was like 20 minutes ago. But the reason I'm speaking now is because on the topic of certification, some of you know me, is I have several, and three of them happen to be, two of them are CCIEs and a CCDE. I've written books on these topics, and it's an area that I'm very close with. And when it comes to finishing certifications, and, you know, I've done short, easy ones that take a few months and $300, and I've done complicated ones that take a year and $15,000 and everything in between. And I can say that the strategy for all those tests is always the same. This is true for going to the gym. It's true for developing habits. It's true for studying for homework. It's true for learning a musical instrument. But you have to be consistent. That's the number one key. You have to be disciplined and consistent. And it's better to do 30 minutes a day or an hour a day of studying than it is to do 8 hours on one day. Because that consistency of doing that same routine and constantly making progress each time has a very powerful subconscious mental effect on your ability to stay focused. And again, it's going to sound kind of like a platitude, but before you know it, you'll be ready to take the test, whether that's 2 months or a year and a half away. So again, it's consistency is important. There are, you know, for every exam, there's always going to be a lot of different technical resources that are available. Study plans, training courses, books, blogs, whatever, study groups. And those are useful. And some of them are, you know, have a 10-week plan, or they go through blueprint topics, or they, or whatever it is. And those are good. But it ultimately falls on you to just be consistent with it. And my opinion is to block off a fixed amount of time every day, or most days. You know, I realize sometimes you have family days and such, but most days block off a fixed amount of time, ideally at the exact same time of day and in the same place, and hold yourself accountable to those specifications. So I'm going to be in my office from 7 to 7:30 at night, and I'm going to be studying during that time. No phone, no social media, and you just focus. And just that consistency, even if 30 minutes doesn't seem like a long time, it really does add up. And that's the best way to finish the certifications, because if you only get halfway through your studies and you never actually finish it and you never actually take the test, then there's no value. I mean, yes, you did learn half the blueprint, but you don't walk away with the certification. And if you're in a job environment that requires it, or where that certification would actually be advantageous for you to have, then you've effectively not gained anything. And for those who are interested in the more advanced certification, sometimes those can open up a lot of big doors. And if you're going for expert level stuff, really in any discipline, that can be a real mark of expertise and experience that can kind of catapult you into new opportunities long before you would normally be ready. And that's effectively how I was able to get some of the jobs that I've had in the past. Went from an environment making less than $70,000 about 10 years ago to literally doubling that just by taking a new job in a different state. And that was largely in part due to my first CCIE. So I would encourage people to stay focused, keep your eyes on the prize, and be consistent every day.
Yeah, I was definitely going to touch on some of that. And another thing I just want to add is be realistic with your timeline. I think a lot of people, they set themselves up for failure in the beginning because they're like, you know, especially if you're just starting out and you've never taken a certification exam, they're like, oh, I'm going to get this in 3 months. And then when you hit a wall but sometimes you hit a wall on a topic and you feel discouraged, you get burned out because you are doing those 8-hour test days. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that at all, because I definitely want to acknowledge that some people have life circumstances where they're just like, I just don't have the time. I have to get this done. And that's a driving factor. But then for people who, you know, they're getting started, or maybe they just got started and they're just like, oh, AWS Solutions Architect, they don't know anything about cloud. They're just like, I'm going to get this in a month. Like, that's just not realistic. You have to give yourself time to learn the material, work through roadblocks, because there's definitely going to be something in there that just doesn't click, because that's just tech. So you want to definitely build in your timeline time for that. It does get a little bit easier as you move along in your career. Like now, I know for a fact that there is certain material. If I sit down and I dedicate 2 hours a day, I know for a fact I can get through that material in 2 to 3 months. If I just be consistent and don't like get distracted or don't like pivot to learn stuff for work, then I can get it done. But there's other stuff where I'm like, you know what, this is brand new to me. I need to space this out a little bit more.
Does anyone have any other contribution to the question? Deara, do you have any other question?
No, I was just going to open it up for Q&A. It looks like we got a couple of other people coming up.
I'm David, and happy to be here with you guys. And I see Nick Russo here. I follow him on Pluricide and stuff. And I know there's a guy that's very, 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 very good at what he does. I'm happy to be talking to him now. I wanted to ask specifically for the certification. Like, I'm one of the type that has never made it to because I wanted to do the CCIE certification, routing and switching, but I never got the chance to sit for the exam, although I really, really prepared for it. And one of the problems that I had is that I couldn't find a study partner, you know. I was living in a small town, and I was trying my best to do all the work by myself. You know, I went through the whole IME, CCIE lab program, but I went to the lab one time, but I couldn't pass it. And I thought at the time, okay, the best thing for me was to find a study partner, somebody that can motivate me. But as it is with CCIE, nobody wants to do it. You know, nobody wants to take all the burden to do it. So I wanted to ask Nick, how do you manage? Like, did you study by yourself? Did you have a study group or something?
Yeah, so I actually wrote a blog about this about 4 years ago after I finished my CCDE, which was my third and last one. And I'll briefly summarize it. When I studied for my first CCIE, I kind of like you, I followed the INE plan for the most part. I paid for everything out of pocket. That was roughly a $15,000 total outlay for me. And that was all out of pocket. And that's a lot of money. So I paid that, did all the studying, and I studied almost completely by myself. I did go to a boot camp in late 2013. I met some cool people there. We did a little bit of kind of studying on the weekends and the evenings, but that was only for a few weeks out of a year-long journey. So I don't really count that. My second CCIE, I did pretty much in a cocoon, completely by myself. I don't even think I told anyone that I was doing it other than my wife. I wrote a book in the process of it and came out of it on top. For the CCDE, because that test was so different, I was very heavily involved with a study group of trusted people that I knew were all very serious. Almost all of them had at least one CCIE already. They're all very senior engineers and well-known, so we didn't have any freeloaders in the group, and it was useful. So basically, I've done three different approaches for a similar type of test, and they all have their ups and downs. If you're looking for a good study partner, it can be hard to find because a lot of times you'll get people who are only partially committed to it. And a lot of people don't, they don't completely internalize what it takes to get a CCIE in terms of how many hours and how many dollars does it take. So people tend to quit early in the journey. And then if that's your study partner who gives up or that person stops becoming a useful addition, then you're kind of in trouble. So my advice would be if you find a study group that you think is helpful, then by all means, use that study group. But I think if you rely on a partner, especially if it's someone you don't know well, you know, if you have a friend that you've known for several years and it's someone you know and you trust and you've seen them in action, then by all means, you can study with them. If it's not someone you know and it's just people you met on the internet a week ago, then investing yourself in their success is only a good idea if they're going to invest in your success too. And I managed to find such a group for the CCDE. But once we all passed, you know, the junior members who joined the group later, they fell apart. They disbanded because they weren't nearly as close as the senior people who managed to make it through. So long story short, if you want to find someone, look for the people that you already know and that you already trust. And if any of them are interested, then you need to have an adult conversation with them about commitments and timelines. And you need to both hold each other accountable if you want to have a close study partner. I know some people have used that approach and it's been successful for them, but I've never had a close partner approach. I've done either independent or a group setting personally.
I'd also suggest we're all on Twitter. There are people who host study groups all the time. I'd like one that's coming to mind right now. Just offhand, they have a Discord channel, but the Art of Network Engineering podcast, those guys, AJ, Andy, Aaron, and I feel bad because I forgot the fourth guy's name, but they have a podcast and they also have a Discord where they have different channels that are study groups. Router Gods, they have a meetup. If you go on meetup.com and type in Router Gods, they do study groups where they just meet virtually. So that could be a way to kind of get that connection virtually and accountability virtually, because it sounds like you more so want an accountability partner who also understands what you're trying to do. So they meet virtually, usually on a weekly or bi-weekly basis, depending on the group. So I've gotten some good resources out of those two groups.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm looking for, accountability. And maybe as Nick said, it's something that costs a lot of money, you know, $15,000. I live in Europe, so that would be €13,000. That's not something you get like that. also, maybe somebody who can invest with you, you know, because these new labs, you cannot do it by yourself on your home network. I mean, I cannot do it anymore. And I think you need to pay maybe some rack rental or something, maybe somebody that can also invest financially. But I get both of you guys' advices, and thank you very much. I will go first with the approach of doing by myself. First, because in my surrounding, there's, you know, nobody wants to do a certification. You know, nobody. I don't need that. That's all you hear. I don't need that. I've never needed something like that in my career. Or something. No colleague. I've changed up 2-3 times, but nobody ever wants to say, okay, let's sit down and do something. I would try RouterGuard. I think I knew about RouterGuard already. I would give it a shot. But I'll also continue by myself, you know, doing. But thank you very much for you guys' advices.
All right. Does anyone else have any questions? It's now 9, so I want to just leave 15 minutes for Q&A on the topics we discussed. Or if you just need some general direction, feel free to raise your hand.
So I'll talk again since.
Yeah, you did. Do you have a question?
I wanted to ask Nick because I was preparing for the OCCIE. You know, that was just routing and switching, just basically. And since the curriculum has changed, now they have this what do you call it? Programming, automation, and everything. It's completely new with DNA and stuff. What would you recommend me to just directly go for the CCIE for the new one, or would you recommend me maybe to go maybe for a dev associate, and then maybe for NRESI? Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and NRESI for troubleshooting and stuff before I go for the big stuff for the CCIE, or is it something because I've prepared for the old one? Would you recommend me to just go for it for the new one? Just like that.
Yeah, so this is there's a broader question here. Okay. The broader question is it worth making incremental time and monetary investments in automation type stuff along the way? Because you acknowledge that I may not have all the specific skill sets to achieve, and this is a broad answer to a specific question, is you may not have all the specific skill sets or the relevance to achieve all the different blueprint items for a very difficult test. But you're walking into the fight with 70% of it. But at the same time, you've also acknowledged some of the new and hot things out there like cloud or automation or whatever, and you're kind of speculating as to whether you should do those things as well. And this is where you have to kind of make a choice. And the way I look at this choice is if you're willing to take the stepping stone approach, and I think it was Davin earlier who had mentioned that he paid $300 for his first one. And then he would I don't remember exactly how he did it, but he would somehow get that money back from being reimbursed from his job or getting a bonus for passing or something like that. And he would use that to reinvest in new tests along the way. And if you're able to do something like that, then taking the intermediate tests becomes really cost effective. And the advantage is that even if you're not able to reach your ultimate goal of getting a CCIE, for whatever reason, whether it's a monetary problem or you settle down and get married and now you don't have time anymore or whatever it is, and you still walk away with a lot, having learned all the intermediate stuff and having been able to prove it with a certification that may help you in the future secure a better job or even just learn the skills that are going to be relevant for whatever you do next. And that's always been my opinion. I knew early on, kind of like De'Ara does, that you want to get a CCIE by a certain point in time. And I didn't tie mine to an age, but I knew roughly speaking that I wanted to earn it within a few, you know, within 3 or 4 years of starting a job that I did. And along the way, I earned a lot of the lower level certifications because I had to learn the knowledge anyway. And it only cost me a few $100 every several months in order to achieve that. So if I ever failed or I ever ended up in a situation where I wouldn't be able to pursue the CCIE, I wouldn't walk away with nothing for it. So I generally recommend that approach for most people. Now, unless you're like really focused on CCIE and you know for sure that you're not going to give it up, then by all means, don't waste your time on spending the couple thousand dollars along the way to get intermediate certifications. But for you, I would probably recommend that because I think I recommend it for most people. Because if you go for something really big and you don't get it, you know, it's not like you land somewhere in between. You don't get like there's no second place. You either get it or you don't. But you can do the intermediate things so that you walk away with something valuable. And a lot of employers actually care about that. It's going to depend on the job, the location, the pay scales, et cetera. But I generally recommend taking the incremental approach. There's also a mental aspect to it because when you pass intermediate tests, you have clear objective proof that you now understand the technologies and scope and that you're actually making forward progress. Whereas when you study for something for a year and you get no feedback for a year because you haven't taken the test yet, and you just have to hope that you're ready. You know, it's hard to know when you're ready to take that test and spend $2,000 to go take it. Like, it's a big commitment to make that jump, and a lot of people never do. But when you take intermediate tests, you get these milestones that tell you, yeah, okay, I'm getting it now, I'm proving it. And that can make it easier to go and take the CCIE or any other difficult advanced exam later.
Thank you. I want to give someone else an opportunity to ask a question. I think you're Silver Surfer.
Well, what's your question? When it comes to studying a particular certification, is it better to study the objectives or to study main concepts within each objectives, along with the practice based questions, along with the labs? Should you lab and study with all the certifications?
Can you say that one more time, please?
When you're studying for these certifications, is it more important to study the objectives or to study the main topics along with the performance-based questions and the labs?
So I'm going to say you need to do a combination. So the exam blueprint is going to be your foundation. That's exactly from the source, what's going to be on the exam, what you need to know. That's how the books are written. That's how the video courses are structured. With that being your foundation, then you're going to build on that with some type of practice test. And what I started doing was just using Cisco. I mean, really all of them. Most certification books do have chapter quizzes at the end. So what I would do is I would take those chapter quizzes. And when I finished an objective, because if you've seen an exam blueprint, you know it'll be 101, how a network works, and then all of the subheadings. So when I would finish a section of the blueprint, I would then go back and redo all those questions on Quizlet so I could get them randomized and make note of where I struggled, where I kind of hesitated, and then go back from there. For topics that relate to a lab, so that process works great for everything, but primarily theory-based stuff. Once I get to stuff with labs, I would study the topic. So I'm just going to pick something like, I don't know, BGP. I would study the topic in the exam blueprint and then go and find a corresponding lab. I use the Cisco lab guides. I know AWS also has lab guides. So they'll usually tell you, you know, what lab goes with what exam objective. Go ahead and ask your second question.
Oh, I was going to say, do you think the labs really help you with the performance-based questions?
Yes. You need to lab as... If you're doing any type of technical certification, I don't care if it's networking or security or cloud, if there are labs a part of it, you need to do those labs. And because that helps you, it's one thing to read it, and it's one thing to understand how it works in theory. It's another thing to actually have your hands on the keyboard, working through the thought process, seeing the messages that come up when you do something wrong or when you do something right. And just being able to just, you know, kind of like muscle memory, just like working it through your brain. Like you've read it, you watched a video on it, and now you're actually doing it. It just solidifies it in your brain. And it also helps you be able to, when you go on interviews, or if you even decide to blog or do a video or something, it helps you to solidify your understanding and be able to show that you are understanding and making sense of what you're learning.
I echo that 100%.
I hope that answered your question.
Oh, yes, it did. Thank you.
All right. I just let someone else up on the stage. I don't know how to pronounce this, so it says connecting. Go ahead and it looks like they're gone.
Yeah, hi, guys.
Oh, okay. There you are. Yep, go ahead. Yeah. Yes.
I'm not sure if it's the correct forum. But I'm just asking based on like what I heard in the space. So I'm working as a technical analyst but I want to switch to business analyst. There are opportunities which has been given, like where I have to collect the requirements and prepare the business requirement documents, etc. But I couldn't be able to do so. I have challenges in like getting the requirements, like and thinking from a business point of view. I have issue in like converting those requirements and understand in the business language, since like I'm more into a technical expert. So do you have any like a direction or any guidance like you can give, like how do I take it forward and shine in the business analyst space?
That sounds to me like project management, PMP, and also like ITIL, ITIL, or COBIT, COBIT certifications.
Those are like for the infra side, the certification like which you mentioned, like ITIL and PMP is more on a project management. So I'm keen on the business analyst area, like where you will sit with the client or the customer and collect and gather the requirements from them, like what they want to implement.
Yes, yes, that's part like, of project management as well. But it also sounds like ITIL, ITIL is probably the certification route that sounds the most familiar to what it sounds like you want to do. But project management is also a part of that aspect, because you're working for a client and you have to identify what their requirements are in order to execute and carry it out. But it sounds to me like ITIL is where you want to go potentially. Unless other folks have recommendations, of course.
No, I agree. I think from a certification perspective, I think you're spot on, is that ITIL is probably a good place to start. From a non-certification perspective, what I would describe that role as is consulting. So what I would also suggest is go, you know, and again, I have some recommendations, but there's a lot of books out there on consulting you can read about, and just basic courses on, even though you may work for a large firm, if you're going to be doing things like gathering requirements and determining what are the joint accountabilities for both sides and what's going to be delivered and when and how, that's just consulting 101 and closing deals. And that's something I do with some regularity. And ITIL is a good certification to understand the IT service management process and how to generate requirements for services you're expected to offer. And I think that just casually reading, you know, finding some consulting books that are high rated from your favorite source, it doesn't really matter. Most of them are mostly say the same thing. That'll help you do a better job of communicating with clients. Because you'll also, we talked about this a while ago, is that there's a non-technical aspect to this as well, where when you're collecting requirements from a customer, you have to be very business oriented and you have to understand what are the metrics that the customer measures their success by? What are the customer's key performance indicators? What are the customer's critical success factors? Those are the things you'll need to identify and ensure that the solution or service that you're supposed to offer will meet those criteria. So again, you know, business analyst, you know, maybe you, in your environment, that's what you call it. But, you know, to me, that sounds like consulting. So I'd recommend you look up some books on that topic as well.
And ISO also has some certifications, but they have so many numbers, I can't keep up with them. It's the International Standards Organization, ISO. And be sure to check out their website to see if they have any as well.
All right. Does anyone else have any questions before we close it out?
Yeah, I don't have a question, and more like a comment or an answer to somebody earlier. The guy was talking about trying to find a partner for the CCIE. If you can't find one, pretty much have to do it. I mean, if there's nobody in your geographic area that really wants to pursue this very hard task, then you essentially got to go at it on your own. That's pretty much how it is. And somebody talked about the cost of the lab. Yeah, like the pieces that you assemble for your own home lab so that you could practice this whenever you want to. I think that's it's crucial. That's really how you could spend hours and hours. And that's what it takes, hours and hours, to go over the material. Just for an example, I started really studying in 2019 and I passed the lab in 2021. So that's about 2 years plus of sitting in front of the screen for unlimited hours, you know, doing different things. And somebody mentioned muscle memory. It's a lot of muscle memory that happens when you're taking an expert 8-hour lab. You're sitting in there with whoever's looking at the grader, and you have something in front of you. So you don't really want to be in there thinking. You actually want to react to the problem. And so that's where the muscle memory comes in hand. So you see a problem, let's say OSPF, Rotley Fractus to BGP, you're not really thinking about how do I do this again. You're going off straight muscle memory like you did when you were playing basketball, getting ready for to shoot free throws. You don't think about it, you're just reacting. Because that 8 hours might sound like a long time, but that 8 hours goes really quick when you're super focused on what you're doing. So that labbing, and really any exam, associate, professional, not just expert level, if you're actively doing the objectives, if you're configuring spanning tree, if you're configuring all of these things on a daily basis in the lab, then the exam, yeah, will go a little bit more, a little easier than if you're just trying to memorize these terms and memorize diagrams that you're seeing. So that's, and also the labbing, I'm gonna go ahead and say it again, labbing works. So keep doing those labs. All right, that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Kareem, you're gonna be our last question of the night.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for the panel as well. I have a quick question about the DevNet certification. So I kind of been looking at a little information about that, and it seems pretty cool as far as that's concerned. Does anybody have any insight on the viability of that certification? I know I don't think there's a ton of jobs out there for it right now, but I think probably in the future a lot more may be coming up. But if anybody can give the insight on that would be great. Thank you.
So what I'm seeing so far is not so much roles that are 100% related to DevNet, but it's complementary. So Cisco is building in, not just Cisco, but all of the tech is building in coding as a part of their platforms and software-defined networking and automation and cloud and everything. So I think it more so works to complement the skills you already have. And help you be able to understand the automation piece in these various platforms, just going off of Cisco, because it is a Cisco cert. DNA Center and ACI have a very heavy automation portion. You don't need to know it to work with the products. However, you know, if you're getting in a large scale organization who has invested in either of these technologies, they're going to want you to do some type of like coding to do script change, to do configuration changes and stuff like that. So right now what I'm seeing is it's more of a complementary thing that will eventually grow into being a requirement. And I don't know if anybody else has any expertise or experience in the automation space that would like to add on to that. All right, cool. I hope that answered your question. And I'm just going to give everyone a few minutes. Just please follow any of the speakers that you enjoyed listening to this evening. I will also be tweeting out just a general thank you tweet and tag everyone who contributed to the conversation. So if they're not on the stage, please be on the lookout for that tweet. And I will see everyone about 2 weeks from now for our next space. And thanks to everyone who spoke and asked questions. And thank you all for listening.
Thank you for holding this space.
Thank you.
All right, everyone, have a good night.